According to an executive of a British private security firm who's quoted in today's Financial Times, there are now more former members of Britain's elite SAS in Iraq than there are presently serving SAS personnel in the country. That is because private security companies are doing a lot of business in Iraq, and they're hiring. Stephen Fidler, chief reporter of the Financial Times, joins us now from Sussex, England. And Stephen Fidler, there's another quotation from your story that serves as a headline for it. It says, "The military can't provide security. It had to be outsourced to the private sector, and that was our opportunity." How big an opportunity for the private security firms?
Well, it's a huge opportunity, and I think a lot of them are quite surprised at how big the business is proving. A lot of these companies are really quite small. And given the amount of money being thrown at this issue at the moment, for some of them, it really is a bonanza.
Give us some examples of what companies are doing what in Iraq now.
Well, I suppose the first contracts that we heard about were American companies such as Vinel and DynCorp. Vinel is training the new Iraqi army and DynCorp training the police force. But there are other contracts that have been awarded since then. There's a small company called Erinys, which has the job of hiring armed guards to protect the oil installations and pipelines. There are lots of others who are spending their time guarding, helping media companies, reporters, and that kind of thing, moving money in and out of the country because, of course, it's hard to draw money out of banks at the moment. They are, escorting teams from foreign offices and from USAID and doing a lot of work for foreign companies.
In the story in the Financial Times today, this will require some conversion from pounds to dollars, if you will. You give some figures about what an officer or an enlisted man in the SAS makes in uniform and what they can now command from the private sector if they quit and go private in Iraq, and the disparity is quite great.
That's right. They can earn £400 to £500 a day before tax in Iraq. That's something like $600, $700, $800 a day. Now, a serving captain in the SAS who will have extra allowances for being in the special forces and will be getting some overseas pay as well. And after tax, he'll be being paid £120, which is something like $200 a day. So they can triple their money almost by leaving the service and going private.
What's the sense that you get from these security companies? Do they think that this is a very short-term opportunity and that the jobs they're now doing will be filled with Iraqis or with Iraqi government personnel within a couple of years? Or do they think this could be a 5-10-year proposition in Iraq?
I think it's a mixture of both, really. I think the really large contracts and the big money, I think they think of as a boom that they believe that lasts a year or 2 years. But I think that they do view this as a sort of long-term business proposition in the sense that, when Western companies come in seeking Iraqi partners, they'll need people that they know and trust to work out, the backgrounds of potential partners and investment partners and that kind of thing. So the boom, relatively short-lived, but I think they see, long-term business for themselves in the country.
It's one thing for a private firm to provide security in a situation that's in flux, after a war even, but it's quite another to say there's something, almost a guerrilla war taking place in Iraq, and there are bombings that are against not only military targets, but as they say, softer targets as well. This doesn't deter these companies? They don't feel uneasy about going into a situation where they could instantly become targets of some opposition resistance?
Well, I think it alarms some of the people who go in because they pretty quickly come out again. I think for a lot of these companies, it's pretty much they regard it as what they do. I mean, one person said to us, it's very hard to sugarcoat this. It's a sort of paramilitary situation. So they sort of recognize it's difficult, and indeed, it's an ill wind that blows nobody any good.
Stephen Fidler, thanks a lot for talking with us today.
Pleasure.
Stephen Fidler, who is chief reporter for the Financial Times newspaper, spoke to us from Crowborough in Sussex, England.